This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This video is sponsored by Voxy. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Jamie Lawler and tonight's special Blues guest, Paul Hipkiss from the Tilt and Talk. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Tommy. Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for asking me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. It's good to have a bit of an outside opinion rather than just me and Jamie rambling on about stuff as usual. But yeah, Jamie, how are you doing this evening, man?
Sound all good. Ready for... hopefully a more positive pod than we had last week, for the love of God. Yeah.
They've seemed to be good at timing like the fans' mood, I think, the board recently, haven't they? Like they've sort of regained a bit of their sort of, perhaps, I don't know, I can't think of the word, but we are all in blue shirts tonight for the first time ever. Paul's obviously wearing the 93-94 shirts. I'm wearing Rowett's shirt that he wore from the time he was with us as a player. I did look for like some of the shirts he had when he was manager last time, but I suppose I could have worn this season's shirt now. Just kick us off, I'm just going to read a little bit of the statement that the club released last night at around 10 o'clock or quarter to 10 sort of time. And the statement said, Birmingham City can confirm manager Tony Mowbray will take a formal medical leave until the start of the pre-season. The club has appointed interim manager Gary Rowett with immediate effect for the remaining 8 games of the season. The statement goes on to say that the decision was made by the board and leadership team with Mowbray, who identified Rowett as the right man for the role. Also, assistant Mark Venus will be taking a leave of absence and rejoin Mowbray at the same time at the start of the season. First team coaches Ashley Cole, Pete Shuttleworth and Mike Taylor will still be at the club. Chairman Tom Wagner said, quoted saying, the board and club leadership fully support Tony's decision to take his time off and focus on his health and his family. We continue to wish Tony and his family the very best. Based on Tony's decision to take some additional time away, we agreed it is in the club's best interest to appoint Gary Rowett to lead the team forward from the touchline for the final 8 games of the season. And CEO Gary Cook said the team is in a challenging position and so a stronger leader is needed to guide the players through to the end of the season. Tony wanted to be a part of the solution together. We agreed to identify it as a manager. Gary Rowett was the number one choice. We're pleased to welcome back Gary to the Blues. He has the necessary experience and the requisite passion for the club and our loyal fans. Gary will provide all the support needed to keep the club in the Sky Bet Championship, and finish by saying we look forward to welcoming Tony and Mark back to the club before the start of next season and continue to wish Tony a very speedy recovery. So there we go, guys. A bit of a brief overview of the statements, a couple of quotes in there from big leaders at the club. So yeah, let's take it from there. Paul, I'll come to you first. What are your immediate thoughts to all of this?
Well, first and foremost, I hope that obviously it's nothing too serious with Tony. You know, we want him to get well as soon as possible and see him back in the dugout, you know, because he's still the man for me to take us forward. You know, he's a top 6 championship manager. That's where we aspire to be. But in the meantime, you know, Gary Rowett is a great interim replacement. And the fact that we've got Paul Robinson back at the club with him as well is a massive, massive, massive bonus. You know, because he's the kind of player you need, or the kind of man that you need now in the dressing room, who knows what it's like as well to put the shirt on and go out there and, you know, wore his heart on his sleeve. He was our captain and he led us through hard times. He led us through as a captain a time that's very similar to the time that we're going through now, didn't he? So, you know, I think it's ideal that he's coming with Gary as well. But no, I think when I heard the news break yesterday, I was pleased. I thought, great, you know, that's the ideal solution to the problem that we have. But, you know, and I think Mark Venus will do, you know, it'll do Mark Venus some good as well to have a rest, because he looks worn out, doesn't he, to be honest?
Yeah, he definitely does, yeah.
after the last game, you know, after the Watford game, you could see in his interview, couldn't you, that he just looked a bit drained to me. So give him a bit of respite as well, you know, go and recharge the batteries, and hopefully we'll see the pair of them back, you know, fit and firing in the summer. But between now and then, we need to get through this storm, don't we? And we've definitely got, for me, in my opinion, now the right people in to do it. You know, and obviously Gary Rabbit's football, I don't think he's going to be no fear football. you know, but I think we need to get over that now, and we need to just do what we need to do with the players we've got to get the results. And all this tippy-tappy football, rolling it out from the keeper across the back of the penalty box, has cost us like two goals in the last two games.
And yeah, I think that
We need to reset, and we need to play to the strength of the players that we've got for the last eight games. And that's, I think, exactly what Gary Wright will do. He'll get us he'll get us starting from the back rather than when I say starting from the back, he'll make us harder to break down, and then we'll play on the counter-attack and score goals from set pieces and on the counter-attack. And that's exactly what we did when we finished, I think we finished 10th under him, didn't we, the first season he was here. And you know, we were in trouble then as a club, weren't we, off the field? You know, so, and I think the squad that we've got now is probably better than what we had then. You know,
I mean, I know, yeah.
You could go through some players and say that, you know, some of Gary Rowett's players that you bought in would probably get in this team now. But if you put a combined 11 together, then I think, you know, you'd have a few of these lads in as well, wouldn't you? So,
oh, definitely, yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm more optimistic than I was a week ago. I'll say that. All I was doing before yesterday's announcement was hoping that Tony was going to get back before the end of the season. Obviously, hoping he'd be back for QPR. But it's kind of like a bittersweet one, because I was hoping he would be, just for the sake of him being well sooner as well. But you know, this is definitely the best thing for Tony and Mark Venus, and the best thing for the club in the short term, and then hopefully in talking longer term, we get through this. We get through this cloud, and we come through the other end, and we survive. That's the first and foremost thing, and then we can move forward with them in the summer. And then who knows what's going to happen? Obviously, with the likes of Robbo and Gary Rowett after that, whether or not, you know, there's something that they can come up with for them to stay at the club or what. I don't know. I don't know what they'll want to do, but I would imagine Gary will still want to be a manager, won't he? But
yeah,
I'd love to think that Robbo will still stay and play a big part in us moving forward, because he's got a good relationship with Tony as well. Obviously, he played for him at the Baggies, so you know.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect match, really, from everything that's been going off the pitch, really, because obviously there's been issues with the players and the way that we've been playing the football and everything. So I think it's been a good time now to get in an interim manager who can, you know, sort of steady the ship for the end of the season. It's eight games as well. You know, it's not like as difficult a situation that Redknapp had a couple of seasons ago, where it was like three games towards the end of the season. You know, he's got a good month and a half to finish the season off strongly. But I'll come to you, Jamie, and obviously Paul gave some really good insight there into thinking what, you know, could be perhaps implemented into the team for the rest of the season. But like, what do you agree with what you just said there?
I agree with pretty much everything Paul has just said, and I think it's massive. I think Mowbray as well, the same, I agree. And I think whatever health condition he's got, we just need him to rest up and be ready for next season. He, for me, is also the man to push us forward. I think the way... Obviously, we all have heard rumours and spits and spats of why Rowett initially obviously got the chuck all them years ago. And I think it's good for him to come back and finish the story as well.
Yeah.
Get his proper send-off to St. Andrews. Come back to the club he played for, the club he managed, the club. You know, we had good times under him. The round the club was mental. But he got us on the pitch and we got a solid. And if there's anyone who understands this club right now who was out there as a manager, it was Rowett. If there's anyone who understands what it means to wear this badge, wear this, go out and fight, Robbo's that guy who's going to fire them up in that dressing room. We said last week, didn't we, Tommy? The only one who looked like he could be asked is Djukovic, who knows what it's like to wear the badge in these situations. You've now got a leader, and Robbo understands that as well. Nothing but massive and great things come from that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think the thing with Robbo as well is the fact that I've been seeing a couple of comments here in the chat saying, I can't remember, let me see if I can find the initial point. Mitch Greenwood says, can someone tell me the fascination Paul Robinson? All I remember from him is blaming everyone except himself and throwing academy players under the bus. There probably might be some of those things in there, but I personally think that a lot of Blues fans have a real good connection with Robinson, is because he was sort of the last of a dying era, I think, for a lot of Blues players, where like Kifton Bell was in the team, we had Djukovic, we had Robinson, and a couple of other players who were like proper Blue style players, you know, who were going to willing to die for the badge, get stuck in every week and have a real good atmosphere of it. And obviously we'll bring in a Stephen Carr podcast interview later on we've obviously tweeted about that and everything. It should be along the ticker. I did forget to mention it in the intro. But he did touch on that as well. He's saying about how the fans will be driven by those players. And it'd be interesting to listen to that a bit later on. But I think like with Robbo particularly, like he wasn't a particular Blues legend for us. And in a kind of way, I kind of understand that because, you know, he wasn't the hero that we had, you know, during the Carling Cup, so like Stephen Carr or anything. But I still personally think, though, like he was the player who Blues fans could relate to just because he was, you know, like, I mean, like Daryl saying in the comments here, even like Morrison as well, he just like got stuck in every week. You know, we had a good team with that. We had a good solid team, I should say, actually, because Gleeson, Morrison, Caddis, Donaldson, David Davis, you know, they would scrap away and they would get us points, they'd get us results, you know, and they weren't in a relegation battle team throughout the whole time under Rowett. And I think that he can reinstall that belief into the players and things and say to them and relate to them and say to them, look, you're good players, you're much better quality players than players I've had before in my teams. And I can assure you, you can stay up and you can battle away with it. Because I don't know about you, Paul, but we were talking about this on a couple of podcasts, how like the players that we've got, the set of players we've got currently, they don't seem to have that negative response to them, if that makes sense. Because like, I think a lot of the players we've had before in relegation battles have been a bit like, just trying to prove us wrong almost. It's like we look like we're relegation candidates, and the teams we've had before have had that grip between the, a bit between the teeth to go back to the fans and say, no, we're going to stay up. But I don't know about this set of players. They look like they thrive under really positive conditions. I don't know about you, what you make to that.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to last season, we were favourites for relegation, weren't we? With John Eustace in charge, and we stayed up quite comfortably in the end. But I think, you know, we have got fighters in there. You know, the likes of Laird get stuck in, and I like Ivan Sunic for that as well. I think Ivan Sunic is good for getting his foot in. But you're right, we don't have enough soldiers, if you like, as Murray would put it. You know, we don't have enough soldiers, and we have more artists, you know, and we can't really play the way, in my opinion, that suits the players better. And you know, there's nothing wrong with an old-fashioned 4-4-2 and getting the ball in the box when Djukovic is fit, especially, and if he's fit, you want players to get to the byline and get the ball into him so he can head it down for Jay Stansfield to put it away or flick it on. You know, you think back to the goal we scored at Southampton away, you think back to the goal, the winning goal in the last second against Plymouth at home, you know, the flick on from Djukovic and Stansfield's put it away. You know, and I'm thinking, come on, here we go. We've got a new Shea and Duke partnership going here. And I don't think I ever saw it again after that. You know, so in my opinion, that's what I would have done. That's what I would do. Because it's no good lumping eyeballs up to Stansfield and Miyoshi and, you know, people like that. It's, you know, you need the way they want to play, the way we've been trying to play is on the floor, isn't it? You know, the one touch, you know, interplay, which has been good at times. Don't get me wrong. We have had good results. And when we played well, we played well. But it's not worked more often than it's worked this season, which is why we are where we are. And, you know, at the same time, we've had battles off the field as well, trying to, you know, get stuff right with regards to the management team. And obviously we had the Rooney disaster halfway through the season and we finally get the right man in. And due to unforeseen circumstances, we've had to change the manager again, you know. So you couldn't write it really, could you? Six managers in one season. I mean, I read somewhere earlier that manager of the month isn't an award at Birmingham City. It's actually a job.
Literally, like, we haven't had a manager, it doesn't feel like, at least for a whole solid month. It just, honestly, it's like we've been a circus really as a club this season, because we started out like perfectly, really, didn't we? Like, off to an absolute flyer. We're undefeated for like 7 or 8 games, I think it was, really getting up to standards, really getting at the teams that we were playing up in the first games. And then we had a little bit of a dip and we thought, okay, but it's not going to be as bad as the seasons that have gone by. But it just always seems to end up that way. I don't know why it is, but whenever any Blues fan, I always say, it's just like, well, it's going to go wrong at some point, isn't it? Because it just does, you know. And like, the way I sort of look with Rowett now is that if he does a really good job until the end of the season, he gets us well away from the relegation zones. What do we do then? You know, because do we then say to Mowbray, say, look, in particular, if hypothetically, I do need to be careful with my words here, if he's not particularly feeling too great to come back into a managerial position and decides to take his time away a bit longer, then do we put Rowett in charge again, you know? And does that then falter for the next season? Because we've had this with managers before, like we had it with Redknapp. We had a great end to the season where he was so solid with us and he kept us up and the feeling around this was great and we put him in charge and then he did terribly, you know, a horrible start to the season, lost so many games. and all the players that bought in, you know, just never really worked out for us as well. So it's like, what do we do now towards the end of the season? Because we've obviously had Tony Mowbray in, who is going to be a fantastic manager for us. I'm sure of it still. But yeah, then with Rowett on top of it, it's like, what happens at the end of the season if Rowett does well?
I think that a decision will have to be made in the summer. A lot of it will depend on how Tony is by then, you know, and I'm sure Tony's the kind of guy that will just come out and say, look, you know, I'm not well enough and I need to step away. And he probably will do that if he's not well enough. But I hope to God he is well enough and I hope to see him back. Because for me, you know, without sounding harsh, obviously I know Gary Rowett is a good interim replacement for him in the meantime. But if you offered me Tony Mowbray or Gary Rowett as the manager, I would probably go for I would go for Tony Mowbray.
You know? No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. I do. Yeah, because I think he's still got more of a managerial hiatus than status than Rowett does, because he's done more really as well. He's been a Premier League manager and been a fairly up to standard Premier League manager as well. But yeah, what do you make to it, Jamie? Then, because like with the point I just made in terms of like if Rowett does a really good job till the end of the season.
I've got a couple of group chats and we've had so many debates about this exact situation. Someone literally wrote saying, imagine Raul walks in, wins 5 out of 8 towards the end of the season. Can't really sack him off then, can you? And I'm like, well, but if he's coming with the knowledge, surely, that Mowbray will come back in the summer. I think for him, he didn't have a job. It's probably the longest in his managerial career he's gone without a job. This is the chance of Raul as well to kickstart his managerial career back after Millwall. He opens the doors for a lot of things.
Yeah, sorry, Jamie. I think it's a win-win. I think, you know, hopefully we're going to win because it'll keep us up. And he'll win because he's putting his stocks back up, and he's getting himself out there again, and he's putting himself out there as a good Championship manager, which is what Gary Rowett is. You know, so he's got Derby to the playoffs, hasn't he, before? And, you know, unfortunately he lost in the semi-finals. Didn't need to Fulham, I think it was at the time. You know, and he's 10 years younger than Tony Mowbray, so he's got plenty of time on his side. And, you know, I do wish him well in the future if he does move on at the end of the season, and I hope he does well wherever he goes after. But for me, Tony Mowbray, you know, is the man to take us forward and get us into that top six eventually.
Agreed, yeah. I do agree with that. As much as, like, I think what a lot of people are having at the moment is the sort of nostalgia with Rowett, and obviously we haven't played any games yet, so if we play against QPR on next Saturday, then it might be a bit of a wake-up call if we lose or something like that. You know, it's all up in the air at the moment because we don't know exactly what's going on with the club and what's the future is going to hold and everything. So I think it's still interesting to have a look at and everything. But obviously there was other suggestions going through before Rowett was put in charge. Obviously Neil Warnock was another suggestion that was perhaps in the fray and everything. But I think Rowett is just the best for the club. And like they said in the statements earlier, it fits everything that's going right with the club at the moment. You know, it'd be a good boost for the fans, I think, as well, because they remember the good times with Rowett, and to have them back, it's like, I don't think we've ever done that before as a club. Have we ever reappointed the manager before?
I don't think we have in my time. I'm trying to think.
No, I don't think we have. It definitely hasn't been something anywhere near as that. You know, we've had players that have come back as managers, you know, like Bowyer, when he got put in charge, that was like a real good boost for the fans and everything. But I feel like that's the sort of same thing we're at the moment, because we're in a mathematical relegation battle, even though I don't think we'll be in a relegation battle come the last two games of the season. I think we just need that good boost. I think they've timed it well with the international break this time, whereas they timed it terribly with the international break when they put Rooney in charge, to really have that sort of good boost again. Because I think to talk about Rooney a bit more, actually, it'd be interesting to sort of work out what their thought pattern was with that, because obviously, we've coming into the international break now, it's like perfect time. You know, Rowett's going to come in, have a good week or so to sort out the players and everybody. You know, he's been pictured with some of the players today in the training groups. So, you know, already the fans are going to feel great about that. But with Rooney, like the timing of it all, I mean, like obviously everybody's pointed this out on the podcast before, but like it's a good demonstration of how to do business, football business in particular, right? You know, you've got to time these things as well, because like we all agree, like this is a perfect time to put Rowett in charge. But whereas the one we used to sacking after he just won against the Albion for the, what was it, fourth time in a row or something like that he did for us, you know, like with this one, it's much better than it was with Rooney.
Yeah, you got me thinking now. The first thing you're racking my brains with is, as a manager ever left and come back. And I remember, God rest his soul, Trevor Francis resigning when he was our manager. He resigned because I think somebody said something to his son in the main stand that he didn't like. So he just decided to step away immediately, and he was gone for about 48 hours, I think. And then he came back in. It was all sorted out, and he was our manager again. I remember that. I don't know if it was as long as 48 hours, but don't quote me on that. It might have only been like one night or something, but he did resign. He did hand in his resignation and left. And wow. I remember being gutted as like a teenager at the time. He'd only been here about a year at the time as well. And we just missed out on the playoffs, and we were doing quite well that season as well. So yeah, I remember Trevor resigning and then changing his mind as a manager. That's the only thing I can come up with remotely, like what you've just asked. And then I think if you remember when Rooney took over, it was also the international break. But the problem then was Ashley Cole was with the under-21s, England under-21s, and John O'Shea was with the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
So there was only Rooney and Pete Shuttleworth, I think, on the training ground with the lads. So it was all a bit unorganised and a bit of unorganised chaos at the time, wasn't it, if I remember?
Yeah, it definitely was. Because all the photos, you're right, actually. Yeah, it was just Shuttleworth and Rooney at the time. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So I think their intention there was to get us to try and play more possessive-based football. And, you know, they showed us, didn't they, that most clubs that do well in this league are the clubs that look, the teams that look after the ball the most and keep possession the most. And,
that was it. Yeah, that was at the open house, wasn't it, last time, yeah.
But I remember saying at the time, you know, I'm thinking at the time that we just don't have the players to do that. We have not got the players to do that. You know, you can't ask Ruddy to play out from the back and be a sweeper keeper. You know, he's a good goalkeeper, John Ruddy is, but his strength isn't the ball at his feet, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, you have to play to the player strengths that you've got. And I think, you know, Rooney really should have grasped that quite early into his reign with us, I thought. Yeah. But he never did he? He kept persisting with trying to play this way. And ultimately, there was only going to be one outcome, wasn't there?
I don't know what the thing was with Rooney. I don't want to say like it was arrogance or anything, because I don't think it was. I don't want to say ignorance either, because the terms probably don't define him very well. But I don't. There was just never something right with Rooney. But they've timed this one perfectly because of where we are in the championship as well. It's not just from where the fans are feeling, with obviously the lull of having Mowbray out, and obviously off the back of everything that Rooney's done. It's also the fact that, you know, the man who they've put in charge is going to get the tune out of the players until the end of the season. The only thing I am slightly cautious about is the end of the season now and the start of next season, how that goes on afterwards, because I just don't know whether the owners can, or the board, or anybody who's got the decisive say on how the players and the team are going to look on the pitch. You know, because like really what we do need is that core culture of Blues back, you know, that team that are going to be dying on the hill really for the club, you know, and everything, and those type of characters back. And, you know, the reason why fans love Rowett last time is because that he identified with the fans what they wanted to see. And we were talking about that a couple of podcasts ago, weren't we, Jamie? Just in terms of that, we need that sort of identity back in the team, and then the fans will give them the reaction, won't we?
And we said we just need to be a horrible team again. There's no point playing this pandery tiki-taka football. I'm all for it. Yeah, it looks great on the eye when it works. You said, Paul, we haven't got the footballers to be playing this. My God, we're just gifting teams ridiculous errors at the minute for 1-0, like 1-0 wins, 3-1-0 losses on the back, back-to-back. And then them last two are just defensive balls up to man. Like, we can't, like, that ain't going to happen under a Rowett. I don't care about the style of football we're playing right now. You'll get a result under Rowett. And that's play dirty, nasty 90 minutes of football. Route one, if you've got to, flick it down, get it up to Duke if he's fit, and play off him. That's worked before. It will work again at the minute. Right now, we can't afford to go down.
No, I go to St Andrews for the 3 points. That's my biggest hope when I'm trying there. And when we lose games playing well, I'm not walking away saying, "Oh, that's all right. We played well." You know what I mean? I'm gutted because we lost. I'd rather win ugly than lose playing well.
No, 100%. I think the most fans do as well, because like there isn't a game that I've been to lately is where we've just been like, all right, fair enough, we played well, but you know, the results are not one of those. It's just like, we're not in that position, you know, and we've been in the championship for 13, 14 years now, haven't we? Or coming up to those, that sort of time really. And like, fans don't want to see good football, but unlucky results. You know, we've had that for fucking ages. You know, we want solid results after maybe a little bit of a crap performance. You know, we want to be up and away. You know, we've had far too long in the Championship, and when people have been saying on social media, and it is only a handful, but it does sort of irritate me, where I see them saying, oh, well, maybe going down to League One will be a good time to reset and everything. I'm like, oh, please just don't, honestly, because we don't need that at this current stage. The fan base is in a tricky position. We've had all sorts go on in these last however many years. You know, we've had a proper roller coaster as well, from winning the Carling Cup to getting relegated to having a Europa League season in the Championship, and then consistent relegation battles and everything. Like, it's just been like that the whole time, really. So it's just trying to keep some sort of sanity in the fan base. We don't need to go down to League One. We need to push back towards the top of the table and have like some real emphasis in feeling good about the club again. And I think that's perfect with Rowett coming in now, because even though there's a couple of people saying poor football's on the horizon, they won't mind as long as we're winning, and that's all that I care and that everybody particularly cares about, isn't it?
You can go back to Alex McLeish. Alex McLeish was a defensive coach that played counter-attacking football, and we got
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot of white belt. If you remember the season in 2009-2010, we finished like ninth in the Premier League, that high season. And I think we had something like 9-1-0 wins, didn't we, that season? We
went 100%,
about 13 games or 14 games unbeaten. And we had Cameron Jerome up front with Christian Benitez, God rest him. And they had a good partnership going. And we were so hard to break down with Johnson and Dan at the back. And I know we had better players then, don't get me wrong. But we were never playing, you know, sexy football, was we? It was always like a goal off a set piece. Or I remember the one going in off Jerome's arse at Stoke away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we won 1-0. You know what I mean? Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, players really like the whole fan base knows this. And just like flicking my eyes over to the chat as well, everybody's sort of agreeing with what we're saying, because we're Blues fans, aren't we? We know the score with it. You know, we've been Blues fans for all our lives. You know, like we were talking a bit before we came on the chat about before we came on live and talking about first Blues games and the Carling Cup games and everything. You know, like it's enriched with us. You know, we want to see that type of football, you know, because we all do. You know, like when I'm trying to think back to a more recent one than just Kifton Bell sliding in against Grealish against Villa, but like it's the only one that sticks in my mind. But everybody loves that, you know. We need a bit of that back, you know, don't we?
Yeah, I know, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you want someone who's going to put a tackle in like that and get the crowd lifted, you know. And that's what Robbo was good at as well, weren't
it? Yeah, 100%. I mean, I didn't go to as many games that season because obviously it was sort of the tail end of sort of Carson Young, wasn't it? I think from a Blues and personal standpoint, me, my dad and my mum was deciding not to go to the games because they didn't want to fund sort of Carson Young a bit more, really. So they decided to just watch them from home instead. But we did go to a couple of Rowett games that season. But every time, Paul Robinson, Michael Morrison, Kifton Beld and those type of players, Gleeson in particular as well, just like proper solid players, you know. And that something went wrong between that point where Rowett got sacked and Gary Monk got appointed. You know what I mean? Like there was a frame that sort of has changed us from the Blues that we were before that, where we got relegated, to the sort of solidified Championship team that we became, isn't it? It's like that period there, from Rowett being sacked to Monk being appointed, where we've just sort of turned into a Championship side, haven't we?
Yeah, no, definitely. But no, I mean, the other thing as well, I know obviously Tony was a defender as well, but, you know, Gary Rowett was a great defender for us as well. You know, the couple of years he was a player for us, he was with us for two seasons, and for both of those seasons, he was absolutely fantastic, honestly. Oh, yeah. I was surprised. Trevor managed to attract a lot of players as our manager that you'd never believe we'd get from the Premier League, like Gary Rowett and like Peter Unlove and, you know, Stan Lazaridis and players like that stepped down a division to play for us. And because of Trevor, you know, and these were players. I mean, Peter Unlove was tearing it up in the Premier League for Coventry, you know. And I couldn't believe it when we signed him, honestly. I'm like, how have we got him?
I think Stan's the big one, though, isn't it? It's like Stan Lazaridis. Yeah. He was the one that sort of made people think, okay, we're back in for a Premier League push here now. Because we'd been, was it three seasons we had on the trot in that sort of late 90s period where we just lost all to the semi-finals?
Yeah, don't remind me.
So, it's the one against Barnsley that makes me laugh the most. It's just like 4-0 in the first leg.
that was in the shirt you're wearing there, Tommy.
Yeah. Well. Is it 4-0? Was it 5-0?
4-0 at home to Barnsley. 4-0. Yeah. We actually won the second leg too. I think it was 2-1 or 1-0 away as well. And Rowett scored in that. He scored a header.
Mm.
We had Watford in 99. That was our first attempt. And we lost on penalty. Chris Holland missed the decisive penalty in that one. And Gary Rowett scored a penalty in that. I remember him having a header as well off a corner, which went just over the bar. And that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever sat in St Andrews before the game, the build-up to that game. It gives me like tingles now talking about it and thinking about it. And then after that, it was obviously Barnsley in 2000, which we've just mentioned. And then 2001 was Preston. And we got we won 1-0 in the first leg. And then we drew 1-1. I think we lost 2-1 away, I think it was, if I remember, which made it 2-2 on aggregate. Because Horsfield scored there. We were 1-0 up, and then I think they equalised. And then Mark Rankin scored like in the last kick of the game. All the way to extra time. And then we missed out on penalties, and there was a big uproar about which end the penalties were going to be taken.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And Francis walks his off, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Decides not to be a part of it, but then obviously comes back and we lose.
Yeah. But the Preston one was after, because Rowett had moved on to Leicester then. He wasn't with us then. But he was with us for the Watford and the Barnsley playoff semi-finals. And then obviously the following year, 2002, we finally make it and we beat Norwich at Cardiff, which was one of the best days of my life.
Well, speaking of which, actually, now that you've mentioned that we've had like a good couple of defensive managers, it's like Steve Bruce, defender, great manager for us. Gary Rowett, defender, great manager for us. McLeish, defender, great manager for us. Gary Monk, defender, great manager for us.
Yeah.
Defensive coaches must make great managers for Blues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Southgate's not everyone's cup of tea, but he's not doing too bad for England, is he? He's done a lot better than Roy Hodgson did.
That is very true, yeah.
Whether he's got what it takes to actually win the Euros in the summer is another question that remains to be answered. But he's certainly got me believing again. I'll say that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Now it's a fascinating one to think about, really, in terms of how the future is going to lay out for Blues and everything. I'm hoping it won't be a terrible end to the season now, because it will be a big kick in the teeth, wouldn't it, if we do get relegated after such a season we've had. Do just want to shout out for Edgy again. He's given us another £9.99 donation, mate. Thank you again, man. You top lad and everything. Paul, thank you very much for joining us at this opening section of the podcast tonight. It's absolutely a pleasure to have you on. It's been fantastic. We will just cut to a quick advert, but we're about to bring you a interview with Stephen Carr, who Sam was speaking to yesterday. But in the meantime, Paul, thank you very much for joining us, mate. Absolutely sound to have you on. And we'll be back after the short break. This video is brought to you by Voxy, the pay-as-you-go mobile network that gives you unlimited social media for as little as £10 a month. Sign up today using the link in the description to stop eating your data away while on the move. Voxy has got you covered with unlimited social media, video and music, all with 5G ready in every Voxy plan. And you'll also get a free £20 PayPal, Just Eat or Amazon voucher. So be sure to sign up today. Now, back to the video.
Hi, Stephen. First of all, how are you doing and what are you up to at the moment?
Yeah, all good. I live in Spain now at the moment, so I do a few things out here. Obviously, I got invested in a La Sala group that we own, some restaurants, beach club. So I get involved in that with all the contracts of the staff and all, so something different. That's what I'm up to out here now.
Nice. And obviously there's only one place we can start on Blues Focus, the Birmingham channel, all about the Carling Cup final. You were the captain of that side, the greatest side I've ever watched. I was 9 years old, front row, sort of in the middle bit, and it's a memory that I'll never forget. And in terms of sort of your emotions playing in that game and lifting the trophy, what was, I suppose, the overriding emotion in that time?
To be honest, like, going to the stadium, obviously, going to a special place, Wembley, you know what I mean? Has such memories over the years for football. I've been there before, the old Wembley. You see the crowd, you come out, you see all the fans. I think the thing for us, we're the underdogs. And I think even Blues fans were happy that they were there more so when we're happy to be there. But it's all right being there, but you need to win, because it can be the worst place in the world if you don't win. So the atmosphere was unreal, obviously. Really underdogs, taking on the big boys of Arsenal, who had some top players in it. But we had a belief in us that we could win. And that's not because we won. That's how we felt. We didn't see ourselves as the underdogs. We've seen ourselves that we've matched them in the league during that season. We've done well against the big clubs. So we had a game plan. And that's how it went. As you say, the atmosphere is always unbelievable at Wembley, and especially, I think, when you've got fans there that haven't been there as such a big game, it just adds that bit more. But to me, it didn't add pressure. It just added more. Like, Arsenal fans expected to win. Birmingham fans hoped we win. And I think that's the difference. Players expected to win, and Arsenal, me and us and Arsenal, probably on a different wavelength. For them, it's just it's the Carabao Cup, or whatever you call it. So it was everything to us more so, I think, than to Arsenal. And that's not saying every football player goes out on the pitch to win, but for us, we were going to be going down in the history of the club. So it's huge. And thank God the way the game unfolded.
Yeah, and I think you speak about the psychology of the team there as well, like the whole expecting, hoping scenario. And I think that's what made that Birmingham squad so good, is because everybody fought for each other, no sort of prima donnas in the team. And that team went on a spectacular run sort of the season before, 12 games unbeaten in the top flight, our best run there. You played every minute of that run. And, you know, that team, I suppose, when you look back at it and the core qualities of that team, what do you perhaps look at now with the Birmingham team and go, okay, this could be something that we could look to do with this team? Because obviously now it looks like Gary Rowett's coming into Birmingham. It's all change at Birmingham. So in terms of the psychology of that team and looking to translate that onto what's happening now with Birmingham, what would you say as a key advice?
Well, here, at the end of the day, as you say, made the point there, there was no prima donnas. Anybody stepped out of line, they're put into line. We had a good balance of players who never played in the Premier League, who were coming into it, the Roger Johnsons, Scott Dan and all that. But then you had players like me, Bowes, Ben Foster, Barry Ferguson. But we all had a point to prove as well, because we did a little second bite at it. Ferguson especially come from Scotland. Can he do it in England? Which he was top for us. So it's togetherness, you know what I mean? Because you'll have tough times and you all have to stay together. Nothing gets outside that dressing room. You're all fighting. They're obviously in a very, very difficult position now, which they've been in difficult positions before. But this is quite unfortunate with Tony having to step down for the time being for his personal reason, which is unfortunate, because he's a top manager, Tony. And then it lands on the assistant. It's not quite the same, even though he's very experienced. Gary Rowett was done really well at Birmingham, as I said. I've just seen that he could come in as an interim manager, because they're in a desperate situation now. This changes the whole dynamics of the club. God forbid they went to League One, because it's not easy getting out of any of these leagues, and they all just get tougher and tougher to get out of.
And I suppose with Birmingham, one of the things that makes us stand out from the rest is our atmosphere at home. And you've played in games before where it's just been, you know, chaos, I guess. And the quarter final against Villa, semi final against West Ham, where you said before that the crowd were just willing the ball in almost. And in terms of building up the atmosphere, what's it like being on the pitch in those atmospheres as well?
The atmosphere is built by the players. You can't always expect the fans to build atmosphere. With a team which they knew would die for each other, die for the club. That's not to say the players now won't, but momentum comes from you. You see at other clubs, and then they get behind. They're behind you in any way, but they need that push. And as you said, that Villa game, West Ham game, I think were the two memorable games where you had the fans were pushing that ball into the net. Very like what happens at Anfield, to be honest. When the cop gets, they get going, it's a tough place. When them fans are behind you, and Birmingham's it's passionate. You know what I mean? Obviously, it's a bit down at the moment. Like, fans are, they're paying good money. They're coming, they're not getting the results. The most important thing is they stay behind the team, because it benefits no one. And I understand the frustration. Obviously, they don't want to be where they're at, but no, neither do the players. No one's just throwing the book in. They just find themselves in a very different position. Three managers in a year, not ideal. So they just have to stay with them, and hopefully, if it's Gary Rowett, whatever, they just need to get out of this little position they're in. And get, it's amazing in them leagues, you get a result, get another two, three, going a little run, and all of a sudden you find yourself getting pushed up that table quite quickly. But you need to get on them. And it's important to do it very quick because they're going to run out of games and the pressure becomes bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, some players can't take that pressure. It's tough, you know what I mean? You have to roll your sleeves up and be quite tough mentally. And you get paid to play for the club and you just have to keep going at it and going at it. And fingers crossed, get that little bit. You do need a bit of luck at times. Little things go for you. A result goes the other way as well. And all of a sudden you can find yourself getting out of it. But it's a tough little run in for them. You're going to need men, not like boys.
You're right. And I suppose with that sort of leadership that you need on the pitch in the Championship, as well as the tough schedule, you need everybody to pull in the same direction, don't you? And I suppose with the Birmingham team of old, the team that you were in, you really got that feeling that everybody was pulling in the same direction. So in terms of sort of then to now, with the players that you had back then in the squad and the players I suppose you've got now, what are the key qualities that make a good Birmingham City side?
But as I said, we had such a mixture that worked perfect. As you say, no one stepped out of line. Everybody knew, demanded in training every day. Everybody would have the hump if they lost in training. We'd argue all the time. It's because everybody cared. There's that hunger. So it's very difficult to get that balance in a team. You know what I mean? And we had a special balance. It was one of the best dress rooms I've been in for just a mixture of everybody pulling together. But it's not easy getting that. And obviously, it's very unsettling when you had a manager who was doing really well. They were fifth, sixth in the league. Then the Americans obviously wanted Rooney in, and I kind of get it. But he came in then on the back foot because you had a manager that the fans didn't want to lose. The pressure's then all on Rooney. That didn't work out. Then you get another manager in. Then he has to step. He was a good manager. I said, I don't need to be in the position probably. He has to step down. So it's just uncertainty. So it just needs to steady. I say, if it is Gary Rowett who comes in, who knows the club, who's done well there, maybe that is, there's nothing to lose now because something has to change quick. You know what I mean? Another game or two, all of a sudden, get results going the wrong way. You're in the bottom three. It's not easy getting out of it when you're in it.
And you being the captain of Birmingham before, the captain's armband this season has been passed around a bit. It started off with Dion Sanderson, and then because of his injuries and suspensions, it's been passed around a bit. So you had Jukovic captain, maybe Ruddy captain at one point, Sunjic captain. So when you were captain of Birmingham, what was the main thing that you demanded off every player in that dressing room? Because it seems to be now that we really need someone, like a focal point, someone to look to for that bit of leadership.
Well, it's responsibility. You know what I mean? You're a captain and you need to get the players behind you. You only do that by leading by example. And that's what players in that team, a lot of players played with injuries for a long time. And a lot of players would just go, you know what, I'm injured. Didn't they? Players are getting injections. And Barry Fair's getting in his ribs and all. Horrible injections before games. And that's what you need. You need them type characters. Everybody just pulls together. I train. I had injections. Other players had injections, tablets. Is it ideal? It's not ideal, but unfortunately, when you're in them positions, if you want to win, you have to go through pain. And not everybody's willing to do that, to be honest. That's just life. But if you've got everybody on that and players look around and go, he's having that, it just creates that desire and hunger to fight. And that's what we had. We had a massive desire to win and fight for each other. But it's not easy creating, as I say. There's not a lot of dress rooms you have that in. Obviously, the top teams you have it successful, but not in these type teams that aren't top teams.
Could you speak there about the desire to fight, the desire to win? And that's something that Blues fans have been calling out for this season. But we've seen recent games, it just hasn't happened for us. And as we've mentioned, Gary Rowett, as of this morning, looks to be in talks to become interim manager of Birmingham City. So I suppose if you're going into that dressing room as part of that staff or whatever, like a hypothetical situation, what players are you looking at in the Birmingham team and going, okay, you could get a tune out of them. We could play to this player's strengths.
Yeah, but it can't be just one player. It has to be every individual. Like, and as I say, it's not players not giving it all. Obviously, sometimes the quality isn't there. We had an air team, not as if we were all top players. We're like, there's quality wasn't there at times. But if you have a team, ethic that they all keep working, you can still get results. The most important thing, your defence, to keep solid. But that only keeps solid if the rest in front of you are also working to the same level. So I don't think it's any individual. Obviously, you have senior players who have to gather the players under them. Of course, and they have to follow and lead by example. But as you just said, but you need luck. Injuries do come into it, and it's not a blame game. But if you get players that are key to you getting injured, and then you're not scoring as many goals, but then you can't concede, then there's a lot of pressure on you not to concede because you know you're not getting the goals. You got 1-0 down, you think, I need to score a few. We're not scoring many goals. So it's a combination of loads, but I don't think there's any individual. I think at the end of the day, not one of them will want to get relegated in that team. They don't want to be part of a relegation team, especially going to League One. It's like, that's a disaster. So, as I say, it's rolling your sleeves up. You're in a fight. You either fight or you go. And I say, I don't believe players in general are happy with just, oh, that's it. Down the tools, I might move, leave this club, I'll get a move from here. In general, that doesn't really happen, you know what I mean? But as I say, does it need freshness with another manager? I don't know, but at the end of the day, I suppose there's so much at stake. The owners are obviously very, very worried because it's not there. As the players are playing for a manager, they know. A lot of players know Tony Mowbray. He's done a very good job where he's been. Gary Rowett, you know, he's done really well there. Does it need that freshness rather than assistant manager? It's no disrespect to him. Maybe that's the answer. Only time will tell if he's appointed. There's a lot of pressure on him as well. You know what I mean? So, as I say, fingers crossed. But it is every individual coming together. It's chatting to each other. We can't be in this position. And as I say, no one's too good of a team to go down. So it's about getting on with it now and digging in and finding that extra bit. And it's, I say, together, everybody on that pitch, working their socks off. It's not always about quality. You work your socks off, you can just get that bit of luck at times. Something goes for you, another result goes for you. Soon you can find yourself in a better position. Then confidence goes high, obviously. Then you get a little run, you think you can win every game. At the moment, fans now, they're worried going into games, probably thinking, you know, I mean, that's natural. Like, don't see us getting a result here. Not the way things are going. But that's what I mean. So players they'll feel that from the fans in the stadium, feel the anxiousness, especially if you go down. It's not the end of the world. But they'll feel it's the end of the world. The fans think, don't see us getting out of this. So it's everybody coming together as a club, fans, players, and all going in the same direction, just try to get out of it.
Thank you so much for your time, Stephen. I'm sure the Blues fans listening to this would hopefully have their spirits lifted a bit by what you have to say, and remember the good times as well, because at the moment it's a bit of a barren run for Birmingham. So thank you so much for your time, Stephen.
No problem. Thank you.
So there we are, Stephen Carr on the Blues Focus podcast. Absolute pleasure to have him on. What a legend. Jamie, what do you make to that interview? There's quite a lot to unpack, obviously. It's a bit of a longer segment than we usually do, but yeah, mental to have him on, wasn't it?
He's just amazing, isn't he? He's a great guy, obviously very knowledgeable, understands what it's like to battle and fight as well. And it's just hearing the words of a former captain, understanding the assignment and going, right, here's what we do. You pull your socks up, you all got to work for each other at this point. And he's right in what he's saying, you know. A lot of modern day footballers have lost that kind of, they're having injections. Barry Ferguson had a horrendous rib injury. He's taking injections in his ribs to play for the shirt. Like, and they all had a point to prove. And I feel like we need that back. And I think Rowett might be the man to install that into with Robbo again.
Yeah.
And kind of gain that fight back again. How many times have we said it this season, you know, and that McLeish team that he speaks about, we were shithouses from set pieces. We haven't had that this season. Things like that that I think Rowett's going to bring back, you know. Become nasty from set pieces again. Become absolute animals on the pitch. Work hard for each other and just become... If you're not going to win the game, if you can't win the game, avoid losing the game for the love of God. Like, how many times we've thrown a goal away late on this season? Just stop conceding stupid goals.
Infuriating. It is a frustrating scenario we find ourselves in, really, because like he's saying there, you know, you've got some good players in the team, you know, you just need to rebuild a sort of team mentality around it and don't get sucked into this defeatist mentality if you go a goal down. And I'm probably a bit of a victim to that sometimes. I feel like, oh, we're a goal down, we're going to lose this game. It's game over pretty much. But yeah, I think he's, I agree with pretty much everything he says there, really, in terms of just like getting, you know, the team back together, get a good, strong atmosphere back together. And also, I do agree with him on a point that I've been raising lately about him, the players given the atmosphere, the fans to make, you know. So it's been interesting to see what he was saying about it. But I was also quite impressed with what he still kept up with Blues on and everything, you know. But he's just the leader, isn't he? And that's what he gets out of all of this, you know. He's just, you can see it in him, you know. He's just like a proper leader. And people that like that nowadays, like you say, just don't really come as they did as with people like Carr and everyone.
Yeah. I mean, Carr came back out of retirement to play for this club, you know, and that's the kind of man he was for us. And he came out of retirement, he played for us, and he was exceptional, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was just amazing. Such a great player. He wasn't just like the captain on the pitch that everyone looks at. He led like the captain. He was the captain of that club for a reason. And that's what you need to look at now. And Dion's club captain, and Dion, you know, I feel like he could. And he needs to put his sock up, and he needs to look at everyone and just draw us all together now and go, right, here's what we do. Let's go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a very good point to stop, actually. We will be doing a podcast next week because of this sort of international break and with the news coming out. We'll do a review of the QPR game, maybe a bit of a recap of some of the news that's been coming out as well, maybe over the next few weeks. But apart from that, thank you for everybody that's tuned in tonight. We've had a fair few views coming in from different people, a few different people in the chat as well. Also, a massive thank you to Paul, who joined on the chat earlier. Incredible insight we had with him, a great conversation. But yeah, thank you to everybody. Anybody new to the channel, be sure to like and subscribe. We'll be doing way more content in the next few months as well. You know, we'll be doing loads of stuff over the summer as well that we've got planned and lined up. We've got a couple of other big podcast guests that we can hopefully get towards the end of the season. We are in contact with them. Obviously, we did the Stephen Knight podcast at the start of the year. That was big for the channel. And we were massively impressed with Stephen and everybody. You know, it's just like, it's starting to become like a bit of a reality, isn't it, Jamie? It's a bit weird for us to, you know, be a part of this and everything. But like, we're trying our hardest to bring you as much great content as we can. So yeah, subscribe, and any suggestions you've got, be sure to get them in the chat and in the comments, and tweet us. We've put our socials along the bottom. It does take a while to revolve back around, but you know, you can find us in the link in the description. But yeah, thank you guys for watching this episode of the Blues Focus podcast. Thank you, Jamie, for joining me once again. Oh god, that was a cock up of an outro. Keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.